Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Damage from winter storms and spring flooding has caused more than 1,000 South Dakotans to reach out for federal disaster relief. Pamela Salsby is with the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and she joins us today in the Kirby Family Studio in SDPB Sioux Falls studio for an update on FEMA's efforts in the state and how you can connect with disaster relief efforts before it's too late and how to use those grant dollars wisely. Pam, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right. This all starts with a declaration of a disaster. Help us understand exactly what kicks the sort of federal machinery into motion.
That presidential disaster was declared for South Dakota on June the 7th. And what it did was free up federal financial assistance for those who were impacted, folks who were displaced, who had home damage from the storm or some other needs directly associated with the storm. And so that money becomes available. And we, FEMA, along with the Small Business Administration, they're a big partner with us in helping people finance recovery. We get here immediately. We get to the disaster zone, if you will, boots on the ground as soon as that declaration is made. In fact, we're kind of put on alert when we think that one is going to be declared, a state is going to be declared. And so in a matter of hours, we are where we need to be, setting up so that we can provide information, answer questions. And that's exactly what we're doing in South Dakota. We've been here for more than a month now, and we're just providing information about resources, about grants, about loans, low-cost loans that are available because of the presidential declaration for South Dakota as a major disaster. And I know that this event occurred in mid-March and late April, and some folks have moved on, but from what we've been able to see and hear from folks impacted, there are folks who are still hurting, there are folks who are still struggling, and it's going to be a long time before they get back to normal or whatever a new normal is going to look for them. And so we're here to provide information and resources and connect them with the recovery needs that would best suit them and where they are. Yes, it was one disaster, but it impacts people's lives in different ways, different communities in different ways, businesses in different ways, and that's what we're here to address.
And some people have moved on simply because they didn't realize anything could be done, and they thought, well, that's not something I can afford to fix. I'm gonna work around it. We're South Dakota.
They financed.
That's kind of what we do.
Right, and I know that. That mindset and that resolve. I've experienced it from folks who have been through this disaster. And what we want folks to know is if they paid for recovery themselves, if they paid out of pocket to repair or rebuild their property, they could be eligible for reimbursements. And so that's a misconception or some confusion that we definitely want to set straight. And the only way for those folks to find out if they're eligible for reimbursement is to register with FEMA. It's really good if they have documentation or pictures of the work that was done. And once they've registered in short order, sometimes it's a matter of a day, sometimes it could be a week, but the turnaround is really quick. A home inspector will come and look at the damage and look at what was repaired. And these are professionals, so they can tell what was damaged and what was fixed and then come up with an assessment. They don't make the decision, but they write up a report that goes into your file, so to speak, once you register. And that's something that we want to be clear about. A lot of folks call 211. The state resource number after the disaster, and they gave information about what they lost, an estimate of the damage they sustained, and they believed, some people believe, that by doing that, that they registered for FEMA. And so we've been busy trying to clear up that misconception as well, because you have to register with FEMA. We had a small surge of inspection teams that came immediately after this disaster, and they began to talk to survivors and taking notes and pictures, but that wasn't the official registration with FEMA. So we want folks to know that to get any kind of consideration, it's right here and it's right now. But we're here for a limited time. August 6th is the deadline for folks to register, and we are doing a lot of community outreach to make sure that folks go ahead and get a registration, their unique registration number, so that we can help them move through the process.
All right. So there's an app you can download. There's a phone number. There's a website. We'll pull that up on our website after the program.
Wonderful.
So people can find it. But for people now, what can give us some of those ways that they can reach out?
Yes. A lot of folks prefer going to a recovery center. And we did have one in Minnehaha Utah. We had one in Yankton. But these disaster recovery centers open and they close based on need. And when the numbers start getting really low, it just makes sense to go ahead and close them down and look for other areas that may need our support and our assistance. And so right now, I think the closest one to us is in Hutchinson County. And it's in Olivet at the county courthouse. But it is only open for today.
Right. Today's your last
Today's Thursday.
So
the
you
last.
Have a statewide audience here with South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
So we'll keep
that in mind.
And I will also share information that can go online to let people know that, in addition, there are other recovery centers, not just the one in Hutchinson County. In Charles Mix County, Lake Andes, we have a mobile disaster recovery center at the county 4-H building, which will be moving come Monday to the county emergency management office. And we still have recovery centers in Rosebud Reservation and at Pine Ridge Reservation. There's no date set on when they will close. Just the registration deadline is the thing that we really want folks to keep in mind. A lot of folks prefer going to a recovery center because it's a one-stop hub, and it's not just FEMA recovery specialists there. We also have specialists from the Small Business Administration, which offer, like I said, low-cost loans. The state has an officer there as well to talk about state resources, and sometimes voluntary agencies have representatives there to talk about some of the heavy lifting and mobilization that they do in times of disaster to help meet the needs of those who survived. And some people have questions about, you know, whether I'm eligible, like I had insurance, or does that mean I can't apply for a grant with FEMA? And what we do is help people who have no insurance or people who are underinsured. Sometimes there could be a gap in what your insurance claimed paid out and what the actual damages were. And when you register with FEMA and you talk with our specialists, sometimes they can find a way to get money to fill in the gap. FEMA is not tasked with making survivors whole. We can give you a start with our grants and then help you find other agencies that can give you maybe something more substantial. We are tasked with making sure that your property, your home, is safe, sanitary, and secure. Sometimes it doesn't look exactly like it looked before the disaster, but it is livable. We help with rental insurance, and we can help replace items that were lost, personal property that was lost in the disaster, as well as other needs that aren't covered by insurance. So there's a range of services, a range of programs that we are happy to walk folks through and tell them about. If they have questions, they can call that helpline, an easy number, 800-621 FEMA, 800-621-3362. And the folks who answer the phones are trained, tested in helping people step by step through the process. They will take as long as, you know, someone needs. or if you're really quick about it, you know, it can be a rather efficient and quick process as well. But we just want folks to know that the reservists, the people who work in these disasters, have huge caring hearts for helping people and helping them get the resources they need to begin to navigate the road to recovery. And like I said, Lori, that it's going to be a long process for some folks. Some folks, you know, lost everything. And so we are here to help them begin the process of building back.
How much disaster relief has already been provided? What do we know about what people are asking for and receiving at this point in South Dakota?
We are presenting a rather robust response to this disaster since we got the declaration from President Trump. We have approved and dispersed more than $6 million in federal assistance, and that's not just FEMA grants. It includes low-cost loans from the Small Business Administration, as well as payouts from the National Flood Insurance Program. So more than $6 million, and we know that that number is likely to grow And as far as people who have registered and are receiving this assistance, the number is somewhere right now around 1,600 or so survivors who have been able to get their questions answered, who have begun the process of getting what they need to get back to being whole.
And again, August 6th is that deadline to get the process started. It won't all be completed by August 6th, obviously.
Right, but that means that you're in the process, that you're in our pipeline for help. And we were talking, you know, off air about sometimes your home may have been damaged, but you know, you really don't see that much. And then weeks will go by, maybe months, and then you'll say, well, that crack wasn't there, and this, you know, this foundation hadn't shifted, or whatever the situation is. If you've registered with FEMA, it might be in September after the registration deadline. But as long as you have registered and you have your unique number, they will be able to assist you in finding out if you can get federal assistance, if you're eligible.
You have sat with people who have lost everything, people who are in the process of some very difficult days, maybe even the worst day of their lives.
It's very trying.
So far. What do you wish that you could tell people before the disaster strikes?
Well, you know, there are a lot of, you know, lessons learned after a disaster. You know, folks began to look at, you know, what they would have done differently, what they wish they had known now, that they wish they had known then. And the big thing is, if you are under, you know, a warning, if you are being told to evacuate, you know, don't sit around and wait, especially, you know, if you're vulnerable, if your mobility is challenged, or if you have maybe, you know, a breathing machine or some apparatus that you need to survive, you should be taking action sooner than anybody else to make sure that you're in a place that is safe. So it's definitely heeding the warnings. And it's also, you know, making sure that you're covered with insurance. And I know for some households that can be costly, but when you look at folks who have lost everything, and when you consider and get clear-eyed about the fact that FEMA is not going to make you whole, then having insurance is, the best policy in financing your recovery. So it's that, and then looking at your home and looking at some changes that you can make. If it's elevating, you know, your furnace and utilities and moving things around to higher ground, you know, these are things to consider before there is the threat of a major flood or a major storm. The people of this great state have been through so much. It was one thing after another. And I'm just really impressed by the resiliency, the optimism. It's so nice to see. But we're also clear-eyed that the people are also hurting. And, you know, I've seen, you know, the pain and the frustration and the angst as I go back and forth to these disaster recovery centers. And what we want folks to know is that they're not alone, that there is help. But it is a process. I have to use that word process and ask for patience and understanding as we work with you through it. Because once you've registered, you'll be hearing from us a lot. You'll be getting letters. You'll be getting phone calls. And so we want to make sure that you follow the process, because if you stop, if you have a question and you fail to file certain documents we might need, then, like I said, it slows up the process.
Right.
And having said that, I would really also like to emphasize that as your housing needs change, if you've registered with FEMA but you've moved to a different place, or your phone number has changed, or you've got a different email address, please, you know, call us and update that information, because you could be missing out on information that we're telling you about an extension of a grant, an opportunity to get more financial help. It's important that you let us know the best way to stay in touch with us, and let us know, call us up as your needs change in recovery.
And that number again is 800-621-FEMA, 800-621-3362, online disasterassistance.gov, or you can download the FEMA app as well. And just in our remaining minute, Pam, using those dollars wisely. They need to, just as a reminder, that they need to go for what you, yes, what they're supposed to go for.
Absolutely. Use the grant money wisely. Obviously, with the money that I mentioned that we've paid out, checks are going into mailboxes or cash is being wired into folks' accounts, and they come with a letter shortly thereafter that explains exactly how this grant is to be used. It is money that doesn't have to be paid back, but folks have to use it for disaster-related expenses, home repair, rental assistance. You can use it for moving and storage needs. You can use it to replace personal property that was lost, medical, dental needs. You can't use it for entertainment or travel or things of that nature. And so if you want to continue with assistance, we'll be checking on you. And so you have to document how you're spending the grant money and just use it wisely. Be able to show us how you spent it. After every major disaster, we do an audit and accounting to make sure that we appropriated the money properly and that those who received it spent it properly. So just make sure that you keep your receipts and keep things in order and, like you said, spend it wisely.
Pam Salisbury with FEMA. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time. And you said boots on the ground. You're actually wearing boots. They're on the ground here in South Dakota. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.